Hey guys, it's Deb, and you're listening to Debbie Does Dating, episode 129, First Year After Divorce.
Debbie Does Dating, with your host, Debbie Clawson, sponsored by Dating by Deb.
That first year is cram-packed with opportunities to grow. Usually they aren't welcomed opportunities, but they're opportunities nonetheless. So, what can we learn in the first year after a divorce? So I asked that question on my social media pages and got some really good responses. And I'm going to share them with you after the awkward dating moment. So this one was shared with me by a friend of mine, and he said, I took a girl to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Park City for a date. And for those of you who don't know, that's a pretty expensive restaurant. I said that, he didn't. He said, we started ordering and she ordered the biggest steak on the menu, which was usually okay as long as she eats most of it. And she ate one quarter of it and took the rest home to her kids. And that was slightly awkward, but that wasn't the worst part. I found out later that she was just going out with me to make her ex-husband jealous. The ex-husband who cheated on her. Well, that is unfortunate and super awkward. I have had several stories told to me that are similar. In fact, I have one of my own, which I'll share to you at another time. But thinking of that story, she obviously hadn't given herself enough time to heal or to be on her own. If she was doing that just to make her ex jealous, she had some pain still. Which gets us back to the subject at hand. So, I've talked a little bit about that first year after a divorce, and I'm going to go into more depth on it in the future, in a future episode, because I really want to bring guests on to share their experiences with us, because we each have our own story. We each have our own experiences that we've learned and been able to grow from. So I think that would be helpful for us to share those. I think we can really help people to be aware of what will happen or what could potentially happen, just what to expect in that first year. But in the meantime, I posed the question, what was one thing you learned that first year after you got a divorce? So let's talk about their answers. One person said that they learned that it's okay to say no and to set that boundary. Also, you're not a bad person for saying no, and it's okay to put you first. So depending on what kind of marriage you were in, you may have a tough time setting boundaries because it's tough. I did. My personality was more of a people pleaser and I didn't want to rock the boat. I was a peacemaker. I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. In fact, everyone else's feelings came before mine. So setting boundaries was really hard for me. It wasn't until I read a book called Boundaries by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend that I learned how and why. This book talks about boundary problems. It says, while these doctors were speaking at a seminar, a woman raised her hand and said, I understand that I have boundary problems, but my estranged husband is the one who had the affair and took all our money. Doesn't he have a problem with boundaries? It's easy to misunderstand boundaries. At first glance, it seems as if the individual has difficulty setting limits is the one who has the boundary problem. However, people who don't respect others' limits also have boundary problems. The woman may have difficulty setting limits, but in addition, her husband hasn't respected her limits. There are different types of boundary problems. It's very interesting to read about the types and understand them a bit. It really helped me to have the courage and the know-how to set the boundaries I needed to set with my ex-husband. So I highly recommend that book. I really learned a lot. I had some aha moments and I was able to implement a lot of the things that I learned, and it was just crazy how I was able to recognize certain things and have the courage to set the boundaries I needed to. Another answer, it definitely is okay to say no. I agree. So I have 5 sons. They were all involved in scouting for a lot of years. And when I became single, I tried to keep up with it. But after a few years of trying and not succeeding, I finally learned that I could say no. You know, I knew these moms who would help their boys to be able to get the eagle. And I know that there are a lot of scouts who get the eagle on their own. So I was trying to keep up with that. And one day their scout leader asked me about it, about how they were progressing with merit badges, all that stuff, and if I needed any assistance. I said, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say no to scouts. Not for the boys. If they want to earn their eagle, they definitely can. But they can either have their dad help them, or you can help them if you want. But I'm not going to do it. It would just be one more thing for me to feel like I was a failure at, and I'm not going to allow myself to feel that way. So I didn't. And it literally felt so much better. We as moms feel the need to do everything. We can't, nor should we. Decide what's important for you to do, things you can feel good about, and say no to others. It's okay. Another answer? Forgive. Don't try to live with that burden on your heart. You'll never forget, but don't allow one person's choices to color your view of everyone you meet. This is a very good lesson to learn. The way someone treats you can be very, very hurtful sometimes, but you are the one that can either carry that pain around with you or let it go. And I'm not saying that it will happen overnight. Forgiveness can take years or even a lifetime. But if you work at it, it will empower you. You can take that step. You can take the steps necessary to get there. If you have past pain, usually in the case of divorce, there's always some kind of pain there. Pain that you may carry into future relationships. This can be a source of anxiety if you worry that you may not be a whole person for someone else. I felt this way. This past pain actually kept me from getting too close to anyone while I was dating. I believe things happen for a reason, and those dating experiences were part of my healing, but I also believe we need to do some work ourselves in the healing process. Process your pain. Sit with it. Feel it. And ask yourself, what kind of person do I want to be through this? You may not be able to do that at first. The sitting and processing may take a while, but when you get to the place where you're able to ask yourself what kind of person you want to be through this, this life-altering, gut-wrenching, heartbreaking challenge, just know that that past hurt, the things you think will mess you up forever, can't affect you unless you allow it to. It definitely takes work. The ability to recognize that these are thoughts and not facts takes practice. And a coach can really help with this work. I really, really wish I would have had one going through that. We can help you analyze your thoughts and figure out the why behind them and then guide you to a different way of thinking. One that will serve you and help you move faster down that path of healing instead of inching down the path on your own at a snail's pace. Another answer. There are just some things you can't control. To learn that we can't control everything is a big one. We can't control other people, nor can we make their decisions for them. We only have control over what we do. That is so true. No matter how badly we want or how hard we try, we can't control what someone else does. That would take away their ability to make their own decisions, and who put you in charge of them? I know it's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, but it's true. Although you can control what you do, we can accept and realize this is a learning experience. Try to figure out what it is you need to learn through this, and you may feel differently about it. Another friend said she learned to do what was best for my kids and not worry about teaching the other side a lesson, even though it means there's a lot more responsibility on my shoulders. I was told so many times going through it that I needed to stick to my guns on every rule, make sure I enforce everything. That takes a lot of hard work because you're mentally, physically, emotionally exhausted at times. But in the long run, that will serve you and your kids. Although don't be too hard on yourself if you aren't perfect at the follow through. Another boundary lesson learned. Separate yourself with boundaries as much as you can to take care of yourself and your kids. Being angry doesn't serve you. As sad and painful and hard as it is, let go as soon as you can manage. I loved the end where she said, as soon as you can manage. I've learned that we're all different. Our situations are different, and because of those differences, the outcome would never be the same. And just know, people love to give unsolicited advice, especially people who don't really know you or know your heart. What I would suggest is to listen to those who love you and want to make suggestions out of love and concern But ultimately, you know when you're ready to manage that. Another answer, I learned that I could stay at the store as long as I wanted and browse the clearance shelves, which brings me joy because no one was counting their minutes or angrily waiting at home for me. That is really unfortunate, but not uncommon. And I'm glad that she's able to experience that now. And the fact that she couldn't before makes her even more grateful. How many of us go to the store and browse the clearance aisle and don't give it a second thought? She actually can appreciate that she gets to do that now. For me, it was, and I find myself doing this now, even after 15 years, but mine was more that my kids needed me. So now that my youngest is a senior, you know, sometimes I'll go to the store after work and I'll be walking up and down the aisles and all of a sudden I'll get this feeling like, oh my gosh, my kids need me. I need to go home. And then I realize that he's a senior. He doesn't need me. In fact, he probably likes when I'm not home. But it's crazy how if we've done something so many times, it's just kind of embedded in us and we have to change the way we're thinking or realize. So yay that you can browse the clearance section because it brings you joy. Another answer, don't use your children as a therapist. Bad mouthing the other parent will only bring more pain for all of you later. That is so true. It's tough not to confide in your kids at times, depending on their age and your degree of loneliness, but it definitely isn't in their best interest. Bad mouthing your ex-husband or ex-wife doesn't hurt them. It hurts you, and it especially hurts the kids. So, like, say you badmouth your ex-husband all the time, and at some point, you're talking to your son, and whether good or bad, you tell him he's exactly like his dad. So what does that say to your son? Because you have only said negative things about his father, the fact that you just told him that he's exactly like him will likely confuse him and make him feel like you don't like him either. So watch your words when you're speaking to your children about their other parent. Another person said, it's a great time to look in the mirror and take responsibility for your part. Becoming friends with my kid's dad was super helpful. We are one big extended family now. I know it isn't always possible, but if you can, life is so much easier. I love that first part where it's a great time to take a look in the mirror and take responsibility for your part. I know that it's mostly never one-sided. It takes two. And you do have a responsibility. And I think it's good to be able to kind of reflect and just like look at your part. What were you responsible for? What can you do differently? My ex-husband and I have always been able to be friends, quote unquote friends. It was tough sometimes because you're divorced for a reason, but it was important for us to put our differences aside so that the kids didn't need to choose between us. We made the choice to sit together, all together, at our kids' activities, whether it was basketball games, plays, concerts, or award banquets. We even have birthday parties together and even Christmas. And I'm really grateful because I know that not everybody can do that, but I'm super grateful that we've been able to spend time together with our kids all together. My sons and daughters-in-law kind of were weirded out at first, but I think they've gotten used to it and they've come to appreciate it too because we can all be one big happy family, I guess. Another person said, so many lessons learned. Setting boundaries is huge. Therapy is helpful, including therapy for children. There's a lot for everyone to navigate, especially in toxic divorces. And you're not alone. Yet, not all divorces are alike. Comparison is a thief of joy. Try not to compare your outcome and scenario to others. That'll get you nowhere. My first year, there was a lot of unlearning and relearning behaviors and mindset. I loved that she pointed out that there is some unlearning and relearning in that first year. I was so grateful when I had the realization that my whole life was ahead of me. And I don't know why I had never realized it before, but I think after you get divorced, it's kind of hard to look towards the future because, like for me, I couldn't see anything. I just was hurting and you're looking at the past and what you've lost and all of that stuff. So as soon as you're able to look towards the future, in front of me, I saw a blank slate. I was the one who could put what I wanted into it. I didn't need to have people in it who were toxic to me. I could just choose who and what I wanted in my life. And it's just like she said, I really had to relearn things to be able to face the right direction. Another answer, always love yourself and live for you. It may sound selfish to some people, or it did to me, you know, years ago. It may have sounded selfish, but it's so true. It's important to love yourself first, because if you take care of you and love you, then you'll be able to love and take care of others. And if that other doesn't come along or takes their own sweet time, well, at least you have you. Another friend responded, I learned that no matter how devastated I can be, there is always a new beginning. And once the healing process is complete, I'm much better off and thankful that I was set free. My life is so much better now. I wasn't happy at all, just surviving day to day. And I would never have left because family is extremely important to me. So I'm grateful that she felt that and ended it. I am a happily divorced person. That is a very interesting perspective. Realizing after it all that the choice was a good one. And even though he didn't feel it at the time, and I'm sure he was devastated, looking back now, he can see the important choice his ex-wife made, and he's been able to see it and even feel gratitude for it. Another friend said, divorce hurts a lot of people. Family members on both sides, mutual friends, ward and branch members, especially your children, and the couple themselves. People don't always say and do wise or kind things when they're hurting. Let it all go. Forgive and chalk it up to pain rather than resenting the person or people feeling it. It will pass, and many of those relationships can be restored and bring joy once again. I know for some of you who are in the trenches right now, literally can't imagine being civil, let alone forgiving someone for the hurt they've caused you. But you'll get to that point if you want to. Give yourself some time. But then when you're ready, you'll begin the process towards forgiveness. After all, forgiveness feels much better than pain. After all, forgiveness feels much better than hate. Keep in mind, hate doesn't hurt the other person, it hurts you. Another person said, take the high road and just let go. They may say things out of hurt, but try not to react. I certainly didn't take that road every time, but eventually it got easier. If we can have a bit of compassion and realize divorce is painful for all involved, maybe we can begin to soften our heart, to start repairing the hurt when we realize there are others involved who are hurting too. Like the children. Children didn't ask for this. They're casualties. Please don't put them in the middle. Children are definitely resilient and are way more mature about things than we ever were. But they also have tender hearts and need to be shielded from bitterness. This was kind of a heavy topic today, but one that I think is really necessary. And I wanted to thank all those who answered and gave some important lessons to share. So if this episode can help anyone in any way, that's all I hope for. So think about the future you want. Even if all you can do is desire to believe that you'll be happy someday, keep your eye on that future self and don't give up. You are not alone. You can do this. Hey, are you spinning in indecision? Maybe you're stuck wondering where or how to move forward. Or are you at the point where you can just take one day at a time? I'm a dating coach and I can help. In my one-to-one coaching calls, we'll talk about where you are now, where you want to be, and how I can help you get there. We can do this. I believe in you. Do you want dating tips, funny stories, and real-life experiences on the joys and sorrows of being single? Follow me on Instagram. Dating by Deb. And please interact. I love socializing with you.
Debbie Does Dating with your host, Debbie Clawson. Sponsored by Dating by Deb.